You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hi, listeners. Today, we're excited to share with you a special preview from another podcast we love. It's called A Slight Change of Plans. On A Slight Change of Plans, Dr. Maya Shankar, a cognitive scientist who is an expert on human behavior, examines who we are and who we become in the face of big change. In this preview, she sits down with civil rights icon Ruby Bridges, someone who knows all too well what it's like to be the only one in the room. When Ruby was just 6 years old, she became the very first African-American student to desegregate William Franz Elementary, an all-white school in Louisiana. She even had to be escorted to school by U.S. Marshals to make sure she wasn't harmed by protesters along the way. This was way back in the 1960s. And it would take Ruby years to understand how her monumental experience as a child changed the course of civil rights in America. I really hope you enjoy Maya and Ruby's conversation as much as I have. You can hear the full episode and more from A Slight Change of Plans wherever you get podcasts. Okay, here's the preview.
I remember the knock at the door, and my parents opened the door, and four very tall white men were standing at the door. And I remember they had these yellow bands on their arms, and my thought then was, you know, who are they? And not really knowing, but I remember the conversation. I remember them saying, we are U.S. Marshals, and we've been sent by the President of the United States. We're here to escort you and your daughter to school today.
That's Ruby Bridges, an icon of the civil rights movement. When Ruby was 6 years old, she became the very first African-American student to desegregate William France Elementary, an all-white school in Louisiana. She was not only the first, but also the only Black child attending the school. And U.S. Marshals had to escort Ruby there to make sure she wasn't harmed by protesters along the way. No one told Ruby how monumental this moment was, and it would be years before she would put all the pieces together and fully appreciate her role in shaping the future of civil rights in America.
I thought that this was an incident that just happened in my community, on my street. That's what I thought. I wasn't aware that it was so important that it changed the face of education and that people around the country were familiar with it. I did not realize that my walk, my story, was a part of a much bigger family, the civil rights family, the civil rights movement.
On today's show, we hear the story of how 6-year-old Ruby Bridges changed the course of history.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Ruby Bridges was born in 1954, the same year the U.S. Supreme Court issued its landmark ruling in Brown v. Board of Education. Up until that point, public schools were allowed to segregate on the basis of race. But in Brown v. Board, the Supreme Court declared segregated schools to be inherently unequal and ruled that it was unconstitutional to racially segregate children in public schools. Despite this ruling, states in the South resisted the court's order, and segregation continued. But eventually, a federal judge ordered the New Orleans School Board to act. And after years of resistance, they finally initiated a plan to integrate two white schools, starting with students in the first grade. Still, the board did not make it easy. They introduced a number of new requirements just for Black students. One of these requirements was an entrance exam, and nearly 140 prospective first graders took the test. A handful of them passed, and Ruby Bridges was one of them. Ruby, the NAACP shows up at your doorstep in the summer to tell your parents that you've passed this test, and you're now allowed to attend William France Elementary School. I'm wondering how your parents responded to this news.
My mother was the one who really initiated this. And I think, you know, for the most part, like most moms, they want, you know, the best for their children. And not to say that my father didn't want that, but my father had just recently gotten out of the service where he fought in the Korean War in a segregated branch of the military. He felt like if you could be on the battlefield next to a white soldier fighting for the same country, and yet at the end of the day, if you lived, you couldn't go back to the same barracks together because he was Black and his counterpart was white. They couldn't eat in the same mess hall together. So he felt like, why send me to this integrated school facing all of the problems that could have happened? Because things wouldn't change anyway. And that's really how he felt. But I do believe that they were very excited that I'd passed the test.
And, you know, your mom eventually convinces your dad, who's on the fence, right? And they do decide to enroll you in William France that fall. And, you know, I know there were delays because of increased resistance from opposition, but you do end up having an enrollment date of November 14th, 1960. And the night before your first day, your mom tells you that you'll be joining a new school, but she doesn't tell you much more than that.
No, you know, and I grew up in an era where, you know, you were seen and really not heard. I mean, we could not even be in the same room with adults when they were having grown-up conversation. It wasn't like they were going to sit me down and explain everything to me. You know, it was only on a need-to-know basis. That's, you know, how they felt. So the only thing they said is, Ruby, you're going to go to a new school today and you better behave. Now, I do remember taking the test, you know, weeks before, but I wasn't privileged to what the test was about, what all of that meant. I just knew that I was going to be going to a new school. And like most kids, you're a little bit nervous when you have to switch schools because you're going to leave your old friends and, you know, and your teacher and the school that I had just gotten used to because I was only there for kindergarten. So that was it. And also, Ruby, you better behave. And that's what I was concentrating on, is behaving.
I'm wondering, Ruby, if you can bring us back to that first morning when you were getting ready for your new school.
Well, I remember that morning because I'd already had a first day. I'd had a first day the year before. And yet this first day was totally different. You know, neighbors were coming over. My mother's friends were coming to dress me for school. And, you know, I had all these beautiful new things to wear that really didn't happen when I started kindergarten. And it just seemed like the house was full of people and it was all centered around me going to school. And so that in itself was very different. Did I feel special? Yes, I felt really special for some reason. As a matter of fact, in my tiny six-year-old mind, remembering the test that I had taken and how excited everybody was about the test, I really thought that the reason why this was so different and so many people were excited and congratulating my parents and saying, oh my goodness, she's so smart. You know, I really felt like, okay, that test must have been so important and no other kids could pass it, that now I am going from first grade straight to college. So I thought everybody was so excited because they just had never seen a six-year-old go straight to college. And, but you know, that's the imagination of a child and the innocence that protected me during that time. So I remember that back and forth. And, then I remember the knock at the door and my parents opened the door and four very tall white men were standing at the door. And I remember they had these yellow bands on their arms. And my thought then was, who are they? And not really knowing, but I remember the conversation. I remember them saying, we are U.S. Marshals, and we've been sent by the President of the United States. We're here to escort you and your daughter to school today. And even then, it just felt so important. I remember us getting into the car with them. Two of them sat in the front seat and two in the back. My mom and I got into the car with them and we started this very short drive to my new school. And then even some of the neighbors, they seemed ready to go as well. And we got in the car, we started to drive and all of the neighbors actually walked behind the car.
Wow. Did the federal marshals give you instructions about what to do when you arrived at the school?
Not really me, but I overheard the conversation where they were talking to my mom about how we should get out of the car. And, you know, I remember them saying, Ms. Bridges, we'll get out first. We'll surround you and your daughter. We want you to walk straight ahead and don't look back. I remembered that. I did see all of the people standing out in front of the school when we drove up. But again, living here in New Orleans and being accustomed to Mardi Gras, you know, something that every kid here in the city looks forward to. When I saw all of the people and I saw barricades, you know, where the people were standing behind the barricades, I saw police officers on motorcycles and horseback. All of that actually happens during Mardi Gras. Because at any given time, you could be in your car and stumble into a parade and you have to stay in your car and wait till the parade passes. So, you know, I say that to say that I did not feel a need to be afraid.
That was a preview of A Slight Change of Plans from Pushkin Industries. Hear more from A Slight Change of Plans wherever you get podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. The Only One in the Room is produced by the creative genius that is Scott Slaughter and edited by the uber-talented polymath Christina Barcy and her team at Avon House Productions. Hey, you're still listening? Good. Please subscribe right now while you're thinking about it, quick, before you forget. And be sure to like and leave us a review of the show. Want to connect with some other Only One listeners? Be sure to join our private Only One in the Room Facebook group or check out Patreon on our website for exclusive content that you won't find anywhere else. And do you have an Only One in the Room story that you'd like to share? Please send it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.